What is time? There are so many phrases that are relating to time. We pass the time. Sometimes we waste time. Sometimes we lose time. Sometimes we kill time. Sometimes we're in good time. And sometimes we're just about time. Sometimes we take our time. And sometimes we save time. Sometimes it's a short time and sometimes it's a long time. Sometimes we run out of time. Sometimes we have to mind our time. We need to be on time. Do we have any spare time? Do we keep time? Do we want more time? Or do we need less time? Is it the right time? Is it the wrong time? Is it a good time? Is it a bad time? Now, I know that all of you are thinking, yep, I think these things. There are times when I think these things about time. But do you know what? We think about them subconsciously. We're not always aware of how time is making an impression on our daily lives. But it is. Every moment of every day, time is affecting us. There are so many expressions about time. I've only listed a few. You've probably got 100 more. There are probably as many as there are minutes in a day. And do you know how many minutes there are in a day? Well, let me tell you. There's 1,440 minutes in a day. But if we times that amount by 60, being the number of seconds in a minute, we actually get to 86,400 seconds in one day. What do you do with those 86,400 seconds? Where are you in all of that? Are you with God? I recently read a book on my flight across the Atlantic where I had 10 hours to kill. 10 hours. I read a book. And the main character in this book was trying to understand the meaning of time. Well, the meaning of time was told to the main character come the end of the book. So there was a point to the book. But as he was trying to find out the meaning of time, relating to his own life, he was told by the author, "You mark the minutes, but do you use them wisely? To be still, to cherish, to be grateful, to lift and be lifted." That was the challenge to the person who wanted to understand the meaning of time. The meaning was revealed by the end of the book, and the meaning was simply this. It is the reason why God has limited man's days so that we value each of his days as precious. Each day that we have is a gift from God. Amen. Each day that we have is a gift from God. Amen. And each day matters. Each day is important. And each day is valuable. And we need to see that we have a responsibility in what we do with our time. We need to value the preciousness of each moment in a day. That's 86,400 of them. It's quite a challenge, isn't it? It's quite a challenge. Let's look at some quotes from famous people about time. Nelson Mandela said, we must use time wisely and forever realise that the time is always ripe to do good. I like that. That's a good quote. Diogenes, can't say I've ever heard of him, but Diogenes is quoted as saying, time is the most valuable thing that a man can spend. How are you spending your time? Zig Ziglar, we heard of him in the Bible study on Wednesday night. He quoted, people often complain about lack of time when lack of direction is the real problem. We all have 24-hour days. Yeah? We all have 24-hour days, and yet sometimes we think, I just don't, you know, my day is not long enough. To do all the things I need to do, my day is not long enough. I don't have enough time. No, you do have enough time. It's how you spend your time. It's how you spend it. Jean de la Bruyère, honky haw, is quoted as saying, sorry, it's just a beautiful French name, I love it. People who make the worst use of their time, and maybe that's speaking to some of us here today, maybe it's speaking to me. People who make the worst use of their time are usually the first to complain about its shortness. You ever been there? I see by the smiles on your faces. You're getting this. Paul Coolhoe, never heard of him either, said this, time is not a measure, but a quality. It's not a measure, it's a quality. So are you knowing quality time? Are you knowing quality time? Are you spending your time on what really matters? On the things that are really important? There's a saying that time flies. Time flies. But who's the pilot? We all experience time flying, yes? Our eldest granddaughter is going to be 18 on Thursday. Time flies. How did that happen? Are we living each day for ourselves, or are we living each day for God? Are we committing our days to Him, following His time plan, so that we can fulfill His plans and purposes for our lives? Or are we fulfilling our own plans and purposes and then giving God whatever time we might have spare? That's quite a challenge. And believe me, these challenges came to me first before they're coming to you. I've heard them for a long time. A long time. Time is of the essence. May we never just give God our spare time, thinking that we're doing Him a service. Perish the thought. But as a born-again believer, the scripture tells me, and these scriptures are not going up, but take a note of them if you're taking notes. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So from that very simple scripture, I see for me that it is no longer my time. My time isn't my time, it's His time. Because I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So the time that I have is His time. And God does not waste time. And neither should I. I have no right to waste time. Because if I value time the way that God values it, then I will see its preciousness in every moment. Psalm 139, verse 16 tells me that all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. From that scripture, I see that God has my days and he has your days. And he holds my days and he holds your days as precious. But do we? How do we hold our days? What do we think of our days? Do we sometimes wish our days would end? Do we sometimes in a day think, oh, I'll be glad when this day's over? You ever been there? This has been a terrible day. I will be glad when this day's over. Psalm 31, verse 15, one of my favourite verses. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Well, if that's true, and it is, because it's the word of God, then that means that my times are in his hands. So who am I to think that I should take them out of his hands and run them the way that I want? That's not what the scripture says. My times are in his hands. So what I need to do and what we need to do more and more, because we're doing it to a degree, but there's always more, we need to surrender them into his hands and we need to leave our times with him. He is the keeper of our time. And he will not waste a moment of our time. Because time to God is valuable and precious. God ordained time. He separated day and night. The seasons come and go because of him. Time matters to God and he is pleased to spend his time on you and me. There is never a moment when he is not interceding on our behalf. Scripture tells us that. He forever intercedes on our behalf. He's doing that for each one of us, always. It's never a waste of time to God to do that, because you are so valuable to God, you're so precious to God. That's what he affords you. That's how he spends his time on you and me. Isn't that just beautiful? If you were just to think about that all day, your day would just be so different. You would be so appreciative, so thankful, so blessed, so honoured, so privileged. It's just beautiful. But do you always see how God values you? He thinks you're worth it. That's a nice thought, isn't it? That he thinks you're worth it. I recently read another book on a flight across the Atlantic called Jesus, Life Coach. And a phrase from this book jumped out at me as if it was 6 feet letters. And the phrase was this: time is the most expensive, non-renewable commodity we have on this earth. Yet how much time is needlessly wasted? And it struck my heart. It went right into my heart. And it made me think, am I wasting time? What am I doing with my time? Am I giving it to God? Am I allowing him to use me the way he wants to use me? Or do I think it's my time? Do I become inward and selfish? It's really challenging. But it's challenging in a good way, because it'll bring about change when we allow God to do what he wants to do. Yeah. And he wants to do things so much more than we want him to do it sometimes. I think you'll all agree to that. What value do we put on time? And here's something else that I discovered. Each one of us is a product of what we do with our time. Each one of us is a product of what we do with our time. Another challenge, it's extremely quiet in here today. We can consider Martha and Mary, and we all know that amazing story. Martha was so busy doing what Martha believed needed to be done. And Mary chose to sit at the Master's feet. And Martha's saying to Jesus, "Don't you care that she's left me to do all of this work?" But Mary had chosen the better part. And what she had chosen would not be taken from her. Here's the thing about Martha and Mary. We can all be Martha. And we can all be Mary. But who chose the better part? Mary. So why not leave Martha behind and just choose to be Mary? Martha's busyness was put on by Martha. We don't know from the story that anybody asked her to do it. And sometimes we do things because we think we're meant to be doing them. And sometimes we just get so busy that there's no time for anything else. There's no time for the things that really matter. And there's no one else to blame but ourselves for that. Another challenge. This is going down really well. Hallelujah. Mary chose the better part, and I just want to do that. I would much rather play Mary's part than play Martha's part. I remember the days when I used to spring clean my house from top to bottom every day. And then I realised that the dust that I got rid of one day is going to be there the next day. So, you know, if it's there for a few days now, that's okay. I can cope with that. You know, I'm not a perfectionist that I used to be.
Hallelujah.
Because does it really matter if there's a wee bit of dust? I mean, it matters if you can write your name in it, you know. I'm not going that far. And I promise for the elders that are coming to our home tonight, I'll have dusted before you come. Because I don't think I've dusted since I got back from America. But there we go. I would much rather spend my time on doing the things that really matter, the things that are important. And the things that are important for John and I is that we fulfill our calling. And we can't spend time on you and spend time on my house at the same time. You know, I am not the one who is omnipresent and omnipotent and omniscient and all of these omni words. Can't even say them. I can only cope with doing one thing at a time. I know I'm a woman and I know I can multitask. Okay? But let's spend our time in what matters, not in what doesn't matter. Time is a gift that God grants to you and me every day. But it's to be used for his glory. And may we never take it for granted. There's another quote by a gentleman called Harvey Mackay. I think he's American. And his quote is this: "Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once it's gone, you can't get it back. We are not able to redeem the time. God is. But we can't. But we are responsible for our time. I was really blessed at the Bible study on Wednesday because there were three scriptures that were mentioned, and I just sat smiling away to myself because I knew that these scriptures that were spoken about on Wednesday, I was going to be sharing them today. And that just super blesses me when that happens. I just love it because I know that God is speaking to us all about the things that matter. The first scripture that I had written down that was spoken about on Wednesday actually came from John Minto. John Minto was quoting the scripture where Jesus spoke to Simon Peter and Andrew and said, "Drop your nets and follow me." And in the NIV it says, "At once." At once. They let their nets down and they followed him. There was no, well, let me think about it. You know, let me analyse this. Let me try and figure out, have I got the time to do this? Have I not got the time to do that? No, do you know what? That was their time and that was their moment. And they did what they had to do at that time. It took action. It took a decision. And at once, they let their nets down and they went to follow Jesus. And their life was never the same. The speaker at the Bible study, V. James Brown, spoke about Elisha and how Elisha slaughtered his oxen and burned his plough in order to follow the calling of God. If you're looking for these scriptures or want to know where they are, the first one was Mark 1:17. You'll find Elisha in 1 Kings 19. Elisha burned the oxen and he burned his plough. John Fisher referred to his retirement where he knew that he had to burn his bridges. And there are things that have to be burnt so that we can't go back. Elisha had no intention of going back because his direction, his time was to follow the call. And he followed the call after Elijah. He got that double portion. Mary Bond referred to Jesus, to Joseph. When Joseph was told in a dream that he had to take Mary and the baby Jesus to Egypt to escape from Herod. And it was during the night that happened that Joseph took action. He didn't think, "I'll wait till the morning. You know, we're all a wee bit tired here." No, he did it there and then when he heard. He heard what God wanted him to do and he was obedient to what God asked him to do. And he stayed in Egypt until the time of Herod's death. Because then he knew it was safe. There's an account in Matthew 25, which is the parable of the 10 virgins. Again, we're not looking at it. I'm just letting you know what happens in that parable. But you read it for yourself. You've got 10 virgins. You've got 5 who are wise. And you've got 5 who are foolish. And the 5 who were wise saw to having enough oil in their lamps. The foolish ones didn't have enough oil and they thought that they would do it later. You know, I've got plenty of time, I can get oil another time. But it brought about a disaster for them. Because here's what happened. The foolish ones, the ones who procrastinated, that is, putting off time, they missed the entire wedding party. They missed getting into the kingdom of heaven because they thought they would do it later. Let us not hold off thinking we can do it later, because it might be too late. Doing it later can be a very expensive mistake, and it's not a mistake that God wants us to make. I believe that when I have a sense of urgency about the importance of doing something, no matter how big or no matter how small, I know that it will be effective. I know it will be effective. And perhaps we can allow ourselves to be led by, oh, slow down, don't worry about it, take it easy. You've got plenty of time to do that. Don't hassle yourself, it's not a big deal. But do you know what these things do? These very things that we can hear are the very things that can take us away from what we actually should be doing. They can take us away from the call instead of leading us to the call and leading us through the call. They can deceive us. But what we should be doing is fulfilling our call from God Himself. And the big things and the small things. Because here's the thing about the small things, the things that we can convince ourselves, well, does that really matter if I do that? No, it's just a wee thing. Is it going to make any difference if I do that or if I don't? Well, these little things, you know, they can become big things. And we can just get consumed. And it's not where God wants us to be. Not if it's taken us away from our rightful place. Not if it's taken us away from our place called there. Not if it's taken us away from what we should be doing. We need to remember the scriptures we've just read about Elisha and Joseph and Simon Peter, that they were ready to do what God asked them to do at the time they were asked. There was no putting off. They did it immediately because they heard the voice of God. And when you and I hear the voice of God, that's how you and I should be responding too. And for the things that we are responding in, that's wonderful. But I wonder how many things are we not responding in? We need to be obedient to God, to be faithful to Him, to be committed to Him, and to do what He asks when He asks, because His timing is always perfect. Consider the perfect timing in the life of Esther, one of my favourite biblical characters. Here was a young woman born as a Jew, exiled to Babylon, to Persia, and she became queen. But she was born for such a time as this, and that time was to save the Jewish nation. And it needed a Jewess to be in that position at that time, to have an audience with the king of Persia. And it took a woman who knew who she was and a woman who was obedient to the call of God on her life. Because she said, if I perish, I perish. She didn't consider her life before considering what she was being asked to do. She laid down her life that the Jewish nation would be saved. I think that's amazing. I'm drawing this to a close. The only scripture I asked Jacob to put up is this one, and it's Psalm 90. which in my Bible is entitled A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. And it's verse 12. And it reads, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." That's what we need. We don't need our wisdom. We don't need earthly wisdom. We need heavenly kingdom wisdom. That comes only from God. And that is why it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Because it's the Christ in us that has the kingdom. He is the kingdom. It's because of him that we have kingdom knowledge and kingdom wisdom and kingdom revelation. Thank you, John. But God didn't promise days without pain, laughter without sorrow, or sun without rain. But he did promise strength for the day, comfort for the pain, and light for the way. God can restore the wasted years, the years that the locust has eaten. But as our relationship deepens, we are called to live by faith. And the time for faith is now. It's an Ian White song. The past is dead and gone. The future hasn't yet come. But we are called to live in the moment. In the moment, in the now. The present. And the present that we live in is the very gift of God. A present is a gift, yes? I meant to have a little gift and I didn't have time. You see how easy? You see how easy it is, Bill? Oh, I don't have time to do that. Well, maybe you do. The present we live in is the very gift of God. And every moment is precious and valuable. We have 86,400 moments in every day. And C.S. Lewis said, "For the present, the now, is the point at which time touches eternity." I think that's beautiful. Let me say it again. For the present is the point at which time touches eternity. You see, eternity for you and me as a born-again believer isn't when we get to glory. The moment you become born again, you have touched eternity. We're living in eternity right now. The moment you were born again, you entered into eternity. Because eternal things came to you through Jesus Christ. We have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. How did that happen? Because of Jesus? We've got the things of eternity right here on earth, right now. And that's why we need to live our lives for the now. So to close, As we count our days, let us make them count. Let us make each day count. Each heart averaging 80 beats per minute beats 4,800 times in an hour. But in a day, it's 115,200 times a day. Your heart beats. And my prayer for each of us is that our heart beats in time with the heart of the Father, allowing his life to flow through us, accomplishing and fulfilling his calling on our lives, so that his kingdom will come here on earth as it is in heaven, and that he and he alone will receive the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.